When I was 18 years old, I did not have a car. My parents thought that I had to buy one myself. I don't know what they were thinking, but I really wanted one. And near the end of my freshman year of college, they called me and were excited. They had bought this car. It was red, which is my favorite color. It was sporty. They said it was a stick shift. I love stick shifts. So they're telling me all about this car. They said it's really quick, and they just love driving it. And they told me the name, and I never heard of it. But I've got all these images in my head as they're describing it, of something like a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, this exotic car that I'd never heard of. And I'm getting really excited, daydreaming of what my parents have bought. And they said they're going to give me a great deal on it if I want to buy it from them. And so I was excited. And fortunately for me, it was near the end of the semester, so they were going to come and they were going to bring this new red sports car for me to see if I wanted to buy it from them. And I didn't have to wait long. And I still remember waiting for my parents to show up at Anderson. I was a student at Anderson University. And when they pulled in, I remember how I felt when I laid eyes on that red AMC Rambler. Now, to me, it was a rust color. I wouldn't call it red, but it wasn't quite like I imagined. And then and there, when I saw that Rambler, which I'd never heard of, I guess that's what they look like, though, I resolved that I was going to go home and I was going to work really hard that summer and I was going to buy something else. So I went home, and I had this job in a factory making aluminum awnings and canopies and some screens, like frames for screens and windows. And I was getting paid $6 an hour. And I was working 40 hours a week. And I knew I was going to make about $240, and I knew there was going to be some taxes come out. But I remember how excited I felt to get that first paycheck before I got the first paycheck. And when I received that check and I saw lots of fees from something called FICA, I was pretty mad. And I was just like, what is this FICA? And I was just sitting in the room thinking, I was doing the math. I was like, I don't know, because I had a ballpark of how much money I wanted to make that summer to be able to buy a car. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And I was throwing myself a pretty good pity party in my room, looking at my check and looking at all that money coming out that I'm not seeing. And my mom came in and she said, what's wrong? And I looked at her and I said, I'm greedy. And I was right. Greedy. And I know you're not greedy, but I'm confessing that I'm greedy. And just a few questions. Have you ever daydreamed, spent a lot of time just thinking about something that you don't have, but you'd really like it? Maybe almost to the point of obsession. Have you ever seen something that it seems like everybody else have, and you don't have it, and it really deep down it bothers you that everybody else has it, but you don't have it? Have you ever bought something that you couldn't afford at all? Because you really wanted it, even though you didn't have the money for it and really couldn't make the payments. Have you ever done that? If any of those apply to you, and they might, I have a feeling, you possibly struggle with greed. Now, I've been in ministry, some kind of ministry, for about 20 years. I've heard all kinds of different types of confession. One confession I've never heard is this: you know, I'm just greedy. Never. Can you believe it? No one's ever came to me and admitted they were greedy, because greed is just something that's really hard to see. Greed attacks us quietly. So we're gonna talk about something that Jesus said about money, and the hope is that his teaching will lead to a greater sense of peace and a greater sense of hope as we look into it, and security. So we're... Another question before we get into the scripture: have you ever been involved in an argument over money? Some laughter, right? Maybe there was somebody who owed you some money and they didn't pay you back and you were a little upset about it. Or maybe somebody thought that you borrowed something or you owed it some money and you didn't think so. You ever been in anything like that? Ever been involved in an argument over money or possessions? Most of us have some sort of a disagreement. And one of the most common ones is over an inheritance. As a pastor who's done quite a few funerals, unfortunately, I've had some front row seats to some major blowouts over inheritance. I've heard from lawyers who've dealt with this and how people will sue for and spend so much more on lawyers than what they're even going after, because there's something about fights over inheritance money that can be especially brutal. So hopefully you never have or never will have to worry about it. But if you have, it can be a really difficult situation. There's nothing new under the sun. Fights over inheritance have been going on for a long time. In fact, in Jesus' day, he came across one. And somebody was really mad and approached Jesus and said, "Hey, Jesus, you tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance." And so this is Jesus' response to this guy who says, "Jesus, make it fair. He's not given what he should. You tell him to give me what I deserve." Jesus said to them in this fight over an inheritance, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness." Now, when I was growing up, a few decades ago, there was a television show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. If you're a little bit younger, maybe you'll remember one called Cribs on MTV, but kind of similar concept. Go and look at the home of somebody who's really wealthy, and you look at their extravagant home and their luxurious lifestyles. And I know when I would watch Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I had kind of two thoughts. Number one, that person is greedy. Can you believe it? What money they waste. That's so extravagant and extreme and such a waste. Number two, it'd be kind of cool to have that. So there's this tension in me, like, wow, that person, the person who has more, you know, kind of greedy. But man, it'd be kind of nice to have that. Covetousness is kind of sneaky. Something that can sneak up on us and we're not even aware that we're coveting or that we want something. So Jesus says, be on your guard. And that means that as people with human hearts, our human hearts are vulnerable to being greedy. Our human hearts are vulnerable to coveting. So the first step is even recognizing that this is something that could get us. It's not just other people who are greedy. It's not just other people who covet. But Jesus says to, I think, all of us, be on your guard. Realize that you're vulnerable. You could get sucked up in it just as anybody else could. So moving on with what Jesus said next. He says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, in our culture, a lot of times we do have that message. Sometimes we have it. That the more a person has, probably the more the person's worth. Like if we read articles maybe on people who have a lot of money, the secrets to life. It seems like people who have a lot have it all figured out. They maybe seem more intelligent. They've got it figured out. They're more successful. So our culture a lot of times kind of gives us this message that our value is kind of in what we have. Whether it's a bank account or houses or cars. The people who have nicer stuff or more are the one who have a better life. They've got it figured out. And Jesus warns us against this, and he tells us. And I think behind the heart of what Jesus is not because he doesn't want us to have nice stuff. It's because he doesn't want nice stuff to have us. Right? Sometimes the nice stuff that we want, it actually has us. And I think he says this, it's not because he doesn't want us to have possessions, but he doesn't want us to be possessed by possessions. Life does not consist in the abundance of one's possessions. Jesus pumped the brakes on that having a lot is a sign of virtue. Being rich is a sign that you're blessed. Jesus kind of put the brakes on that. And in fact, he even said this. This really was a head-scratcher to his disciples when he said this in Matthew 19:24. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And they just thought that if you had more money, it meant you were close to God or there was some sort of blessing, right? If you do good and you deserve it, then God gives you more. And Jesus challenged that notion, challenged that assumption that people who have more are more blessed. Again, I don't think it's that God doesn't want us to have nice stuff. God doesn't want nice stuff to have us. We're vulnerable to being possessed by our possessions. You're vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. It's possible for all of us. Now, I would not be caught dead today in an AMC Rambler. Those cars are nasty because I have a lot more style today. I have a 2002 Chrysler Town and Country van. That thing is awesome. And I want to tell you this because there's I feel a little bit of nervousness in sharing this. One thing I want to say is I have a van like this with over 200,000 miles, and it's not because I'm virtuous. It's not because I've taken any, like, I have a car, and if you have a nicer car, you should feel bad about it. It has nothing to do with that. Truth be told, we have it because it fits our station in life really well, and if I could have a nicer car, I would. So, but it's just not our time yet. So saying that, don't feel bad about your car. That's not the intention. But I want to tell you one thing I love about my van. This is it. If it gets scratched, I don't care. So, in fact, last summer, Jenny and I were driving somewhere, and we were at a yield sign, and some big truck hit us really hard in the bumper. I knew it was dented, and my first thought was like, not, oh no. It was, we might get some money from this, and we're not going to fix it. It's so nice not to worry about, like, if it breaks, I'm upset. So, again, I'm not trying to paint myself as a saint. But that's one thing I love about this van is if something happens to it, I don't care at all. Because having something like this, it's not a real nice possession, so it doesn't possess me. And so I experience that with this car more than I do other things. So Jesus, again, he warns us about being possessed by our possessions, and he tells us not to do that. But then he tells us a parable. Last week we talked about how he told like 39 parables, and 11 of them are about money, finances, possessions. As it's the second most common topic Jesus talked about other than the kingdom of heaven. So this is one of them, Luke 12. The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and dry goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. Now, in this story, the farmer does well. He works hard. He saves his money. Most of us would say saving money is a good thing. Working hard is a good thing. He was successful, and he got to enjoy that. And Jesus then talks about that, and it just sounds like this is such a great thing. And I think this is very commendable, to work hard, to save your money, and then to be able to enjoy that hard work. And then so when Jesus talks about the answer, he says, and God said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Treat yourself. You worked hard and saved. Now enjoy your great reward. Well done, servant. Boy, that's not the real version, is it? That's what they were expecting. They thought, and I would think that too, if we were telling this in America, that's like a parable of what to do. Work hard, save, be able to retire early and enjoy it. That is the parable of the American dream. It was also the Jewish dream. So his audience were expecting that. It sounded so commendable. But as Jesus often did, he flips the script and he has a surprise ending. And this is actually what it says in Luke 12:20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Surprise ending. Now again, you look at the whole of Scripture. There's nothing wrong with hard work. Scripture commends it. There's nothing wrong with saving. I think it's a very wise, practical thing to do. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with retirement. It can be blessed. It's a blessed state to live in retirement. But what was it that made the man a fool? What made the fool is that he thought everything belonged to him. This man thought it was all about him, and he forgot about others. Jesus sums up in Luke 12:21, and he brings it back to us too, not just the parable of this man. He says, being a fool, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? What if the good life is less about the riches we have and more about the riches that we give? What if Jesus is making a point here that where God's really paying more attention to what not what we have, but how we use it, and what kind, instead of consuming and taking, how we're giving and contributing and blessing? Jesus turned things upside down. I want to encourage you for the application. Be rich, like he said, be rich toward God. We can be people who are rich. And rich toward God is not what we have, it's what we give. Be rich toward God. Think about how what we have can be used to honor God and bless other people. Last week we did a reminder. I told you this month I'm putting my dollar bills in backwards in my wallet. So when I pull them out, I see the back that says, "In God we trust." And I'm praying this prayer that Andy Stanley taught us. I will not trust in riches, but in God who richly provides. I want to encourage you to be praying that this month, because it can really take some of the pressure off. Money can really cause us so much anxiety. And we can find peace when we learn to trust in God to provide what we need. So I want to encourage you to keep thinking about that this month. If you see money backwards, or maybe like me, put it backwards in your wallet, see it, and just pray that, God, I will not trust in riches, but in God who richly provides. And I want to encourage you just to prayerfully consider, how can I be rich toward God? What does that mean? How can I be rich toward God? What is it how can I live in a way that invests in what's eternal and what lasts? And it's not just about me. Well, I told you about FICA and being frustrated about it. And I know that if I just complete the story without telling you what happened, people will be like, "Did you ever get a car?" All that. So I'll tell you that before I move on. I did get a car. My parents gave me a great deal. They had a 1991 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. I think they were setting me up with the Rambler, because that seemed like a Ferrari when I bought it. They gave me a great deal. I worked that summer and I bought it for my parents for a steal of a deal under Kelley Blue Book. So I did get that car, and I loved that car, and it was wonderful. But anyway, back to the story. Mom, I'm greedy. And I felt like God was just whispering to me. I had some mail on my desk, and there was a letter from Prison Fellowship Ministry, which had been started by Charles Colson. It's where they took the gospel into prisons and did some things for inmates and their families. And it was a solicitation letter asking me to donate, and it was like God saying, "You're greedy, you need to give." And so I had this amount, and it was $75. I still remember this check. Back then, that seemed like a lot of money. But I wrote that check for Prison Fellowship. I put it in the envelope, and I put it in the mailbox. And you know how I felt after I wrote that check? I felt so much more at peace. It's just my statement of, I'm going to fight against my greed. I'm just going to trust God to help me with this car situation. I'm going to quit doing the math. I'm just going to trust Him, and I want to give. And it was that act that really gave me peace, being rich toward God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You are the giver of all that is good. You richly provide everything for our enjoyment. Sometimes we are greedy. Help us to be on guard against covetousness. We want to be thankful for every perfect gift that comes down from You. Lead us not to be possessed by possessions. Help us not to live in anxiety and fear, but to have the peace of trusting You to provide all that we need. Make us into people who are rich toward God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.